up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thus far, God's holy word. You may be seated. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you as we continue to study and to meditate upon this prayer, this model prayer that Christ has taught us. We pray that we would come to understand the particular things that He has taught us to pray here and understand why that is and how important it is that we understand how we are to approach your throne of grace, to pray for these various items. And we pray, Father, that you would encourage us even as we consider the doctrine of prayer this morning, as we continue to consider it, and that you would help us as citizens of your kingdom to use this wonderful means of grace to further build up the church and to encourage the life and the work of the church in this world for Christ's sake and for His glory. We ask it now in His most holy name. Amen. Do you know what these are? Some of you maybe have never seen these before. Can you see them? They've got little symbols on them. MasterCard, Visa, a few others. Credit cards. Of course, they are prolific in our culture. You probably get junk mail every day encouraging you to sign up for three or four more of them. And of course, now in our culture, many people use them almost exclusively rather than cash. And they are very convenient. But they are also very dangerous. Because, I don't know if you've noticed it, but they can explode. Like a landmine or a stick of dynamite. And they can leave a huge hole, a great big crater that you are then responsible to fill back up. And of course, many of us know from personal experience how easy it is to set off explosions and create huge pits. But how hard and wearisome and painful it is to fill those craters, those sinkholes, back up with what? With money. Credit cards are notorious in our affluent, self-indulgent society for creating debt. The deep, sometimes life-dominating financial pits or holes that we can borrow or spend our way into. And if you've ever been in one of those deep financial holes and painstakingly gotten out of it and paid off that debt, you know how good it feels for that hole to be gone. No longer looming there in front of you with this big neon sign that keeps flashing, "Fill me back up, fill me back up. You owe me, fill me back up." It's not a word that we use as much anymore in our society, but you're familiar with the word amass, A-M-A-S. It means to collect or to accumulate. Two or three generations ago, people used to dream of amassing a fortune. Amassing a fortune. Of earning, saving, investing so that they might have something of value. That is, assets to pass on or to leave for their children, for future generations. Our generation, however, has amassed huge debts, leaving little or nothing for future generations to face except bill and debt collectors. We've become experts in this society at amassing liabilities rather than stable, lasting legacies. And of course, it's easy for us to point the finger and the blame on those lousy credit card companies that keep tempting us every day with higher limits, more credit every day. But of course, the problem isn't the credit card companies. The problem is with us, with our desires and lusts and impatience and our slothfulness and our greed and our self-indulgence and our lack of self-control. Because we are, by nature, sinners. We are born in a hole. And making that hole, that debt we owe to God, deeper and deeper is what we do best. Amassing debt. Sinking lower and lower with absolutely no way to ever repay it. That is exactly the pitiful, helpless mess that we stay in when we are left to ourselves. But by His exceeding mercy, our debt collector has canceled all our sin. He has paid off all that we owe in full. He's filled the hole back up totally. And so what we owe God, that is a life of perfect righteousness and eternal punishment for our crimes against Him. That cosmic debt was paid in full by Christ on the cross. As He said, even from the cross, you know, you've heard it before. He uttered that one word, tetelestai. Translated, it is finished. Or it has been completed. And it's interesting because that was even the term, that was the commercial term for His culture. For paying off or satisfying a debt. So that the debtor was finally free and clear. No more insurmountable obligation. Christ has freely discharged the deficit and the moral ruin created by our sin against God. He transferred that entire debt to His name and paid it all for you. And then He signed over to you His account. A fortune beyond calculation. So that His glorious inheritance is now yours in full. And so, here's one way to look at it. Not only did He fill up that sinkhole of sin that you made, but where it was, there is now a mountain that reaches beyond the highest heavens. A mountain of righteousness and blessing and riches and glory and beauty and wisdom and virtue. It's an account that now has your name on it. Your name on it, right beside His. Peter calls it, quote, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now, what does all of that have to do with this fifth request of the model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Well, you see, all of that that I've just been talking about, that is the context. That is the basis or the background that Jesus assumes that you, His forgiven by God recipients of grace disciples, will have. That's the background that you will have when you confess your sins to God, now that you are His child and are seeking His grace to treat others as He has treated you with the mercy and forgiveness you have received from Him. Turn to Matthew 18 for a moment. Matthew 18 at verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This parable about forgiveness, we might also call the Golden Rule parable. You know that rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So we could also call this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer the Golden Rule petition. Asking that the grace, the mercy, and forgiveness God has already poured out on us in abundance might fuel and impact our ongoing response, our relationship first to Him and then as well to others. So this is a petition, if you will, in the Lord's Prayer. This is a petition of reciprocation and reconciliation. It's a prayer about keeping our relationship with the Lord and with His people healthy and fresh and clean and honest. free from the bitterness, ingratitude, and unkindness that fills the hearts of unmerciful, unforgiven people. Now, some Christians over the years, particularly young Christians, have been confused in the Lord's Prayer about, quote, praying for forgiveness or pardon. If, in fact, as the gospel teaches, we have already been pardoned in full. So is Jesus here teaching us that forgiveness is conditional? That God only forgives us when and if we forgive others? So is forgiving others a work by which we can earn or merit then God's forgiveness? The answer, of course, is no. Yes, no, yes, no, yes. Remember the context. The assumptions behind Christ's teaching here. He is teaching the redeemed how to pray. Those whom He has saved utterly by grace. No works. Nothing we can or ever will do to merit forgiveness. He pardoned us when we were helpless sinners. And so that forgiveness is not something we continually pray for because it is absolutely a finished transaction. It's a done deal. It's what we know as justification. It is a legal declaration that happens once. Yet it forever changes our legal status before God. From guilty, condemned criminals to acquitted, forgiven children. So you are no longer in jail, on death row, but in Christ, you are now in the palace of God, growing up and preparing for your full disclosure and inheritance as the children of God. You are in that new and glorious condition because of forensic forgiveness. God, the judge, has pardoned you on the merits of Christ. That, beloved, is not the forgiveness that you're praying for in the fifth petition. Because that is already yours. Unless, of course, you're simply praising and thanking God for it. That forgiveness is what you already know, and which daily should thrill your heart and fill you constantly with humility and thanksgiving and joy unspeakable. That forgiveness, unmerited by you, is the basis behind your seeking this other kind of forgiveness in the fifth petition, which is familial forgiveness. It's the kind of forgiveness that we need as children from our parents when we disobey them. You see, a loving father, most loving fathers, a loving father is not going to disown his disobedient child. He's not going to disinherit him when he does wrong or disobeys. Rather, if he's a loving father, he's going to discipline him and forgive him and teach him to do better, to overcome his bad habits or his inconsiderate ways, so that their relationship of mutual love and trust and kindness might mature. The same goes for children, siblings in the family. not sibling rivalry, but sibling solidarity, unity, peace, and mutual care and concern should characterize our relationships in the church. Bearing with one another and bearing one another's burdens. And so in this fifth petition, the Lord is directing us to pray for the heart and the power to keep short accounts, to keep our family, His family, free from division, from bitterness, from slander, from ingratitude, from pride or backbiting and revenge. Rather, with humility, tenderness, and compassion, we should be like-minded, having the same love for one another. As Paul writes in Philippians, being one in spirit and purpose, he says, doing nothing out of vain conceit, but considering others better than yourself and looking out for the interests of others, which we can now do because God has forgiven us our insurmountable debts and has not only, quote, encouraged us by grace, as we read this morning in the newer version of the Catechism, not only encouraged us by grace, but as the older version puts it, by His grace we are enabled, we are empowered from the heart to forgive others. In his commentary on the Heidelberg Catechism, G.I. Williamson comments and concludes his remarks on the fifth petition here of the Lord's Prayer with this, quote, there may be and probably are many who are unforgiving and yet called Christians. But there are no real Christians who are unforgiving. Because the same God who grants us forgiveness as a free gift also grants us the free gift of His Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts, renewing them, it is not possible for us to remain unforgiving. Indeed, this is one of the ways that we can test ourselves to know whether or not we have grounds for assurance. Unquote. What Mr. Williamson is saying there, in so many words, is real Christians sin. Real Christians don't deny, rather they admit, they confess their sins. Real Christians deplore and detest, they hate their sin. Real Christians repent of their sins. And real Christians submit to God's discipline and correction of their sins. Real Christians seek restitution and reconciliation with those their sin has harmed. Real Christians humbly seek forgiveness for their sins. And real Christians truly forgive those who sin against them. That is the reality that God's Holy Spirit has created in the church. That is the reality in Christ's kingdom. And the question, beloved, that we face every day in this congregation is simply this: are we for real? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we know the overwhelming abundance of your mercy and grace poured out upon us in Christ. And Lord, we confess how so often we ignore that reality and cling to our own desires, our own prideful desires, and unwillingness to forgive, unwillingness to seek restitution, reconciliation. We plead, O Christ, that you would change us in regard to that, that you would change our hearts and make us different if that is indeed how we are. Help us, Lord God, to be those who understand what it means to be forgiven and then in turn to forgive those who seek forgiveness from us. We thank you for the abundance of the mercy that is ours in Christ. We pray it may be evident in the way that we live each and every day for his glory. We ask it now for his sake. Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 494 as we respond this morning.